From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his final message in a series of studies in Psalm 138. The great theme of the psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship him. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy a brief devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 119 and verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. There are times when solitude is better than society, and silence is wiser than speech. We should be better Christians if we were more alone, waiting upon God, and gathering through meditation on his word spiritual strength for labor in his service. We ought to muse upon the things of God, because we thus get the real nutriment out of them. Truth is something like the cluster of the vine. If we would have wine from it, we must bruise it. We must press and squeeze it many times. The bruiser's feet must come down joyfully upon the bunches, or else the juice will not flow, and they must well tread the grapes, or else much of the precious liquid will be wasted. So we must, by meditation, tread the clusters of truth, if we would get the wine of consolation therefrom. Our bodies are not supported merely by taking food into the mouth, but the process which really supplies the muscle and the nerve and the sinew and the bone is the process of digestion. It is by digestion that the outward food becomes assimilated with the inner life. Our souls are not nourished merely by listening a while to this, and then to that, and then to the other part of divine truth. Hearing, reading, marking, and learning all require inwardly digesting to complete their usefulness, and the inward digesting of the truth lies, for the most part, in meditating upon it. Why is it that some Christians, although they hear many sermons, make but slow advances in the divine life? Because they neglect their closets, and do not thoughtfully meditate on God's word. They love the wheat, but they do not grind it. They would have the corn, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it. The fruit hangs upon the tree, but they will not pluck it. The water flows at their feet, but they will not stoop to drink it. From such folly deliver us, O Lord, and be this our resolve this morning. I will meditate in thy precepts.
My love, live and love your soldiers disobey, thy truth a mighty sword, thy truth a mighty sword. Descends in Christ a righteous way, reveal within thy word, like how I love, I long, my comfort all the day, Lord, how I love, I love, its truth I will live. Oh, may I know its wondrous truth and walk in its perfect way. Lord, how I love, I long, my comfort all the day.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his final message in a series based on Psalm 138. The text is the final phrase of verse 8, "Forsake not the works of thine own hands." In Ephesians 2, verse 10, Paul reminded those early Christians that they were God's workmanship. David realized that he was one of God's works and that God would not forsake him. It was David's experience that God was with him in every stage and circumstance of his life. That is true of all believers in Christ. No matter how long we may live, we must actively and constantly live in the presence of God. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
I'll tell you something, what is cursing the church nowadays is we have more academics who have studied revival till they have made it like an anatomy class and they've got the corpse of revival and they have stripped it down to examine every muscle and every bone, but they have no experience of revival. That's what we need. The psalmist praying here, Lord, do not forsake the work of your own hands. The first and greatest point that has to be made here in expounding his meaning is he is saying, Lord, I am thy workmanship. Do not forsake the works of your own hands. I am the work of your hands. Not only by creation, but by redemption. Isn't that what Paul told the Ephesians? By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship. This is what David's saying. Lord, I am your workmanship. You created me for a purpose. You saved me. You recreated me. You put me in Christ. Now, Lord, forsake not the works of thine own hands. Let me have your presence. Let me have your grace. You see, both in prosperity and affliction, we need the presence of the Lord. We need the grace of God, and we need to know the power of God. We must not be like the children of Israel. The Lord warned them of this, but despite the warning, they still did it. He warned them, when you get into the land, when you get rich. Here's the reason why the Lord doesn't allow too many Christians to get rich, by the way. Very few can handle it. Very, very few can handle it. It's why the Lord keeps most of his people in humble positions. We go to work at 8 or 9 in the morning, whatever it is, and you finish at 5 o'clock at night, and you finish it. Because when you're consumed with what you've got and you've got to worry about it, or you become so prosperous, it's very easy to forget the Lord. He said, when you get in there and you get rich and you get the land and you've corn and all, everything's going well, beware lest thou forget the Lord. We need the presence of God when we're prospering. You know, you're never in greater danger than when you're prospering. You need the presence of God then. Equally, we must be careful not to turn from him when we suffer pain or loss. Rather, we need to be praying, Lord, forsake not the works of thine own hands. We can say to the Lord, using the words of his own truth, thou said, as in Isaiah 41, fear thou not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And the promise is, I will strengthen thee, yea, I'll help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy my righteousness. Or as it says in verse 13, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Lord, thou hast said this, now forsake not the works of thine own hands. I'm your workmanship. David prayed this especially as he thought of growing old. Especially as I grow frail and old, forsake not the works of thine own hands. Let me not lose the sense of God's presence. I must confess that there's one thing, not the only thing, mind you, but there's one thing that greatly concerns me as I get older. And that is the tendency of old people to do certain things that are very, very, very harmful to them, to the cause of Christ. First, they live in the past. Second, they talk very dogmatically. Now, I would never do that, of course. About experience, and it's not necessarily dogmatically sticking to the book, it's dogmatically demanding that things go the way they're used to having things go, done the way they're used to having things done, and your experience must conform to what they did experience. But the worst part of it is, and I've seen this again and again and again, I've seen it in the pew, I've seen it among preachers, for all that they have experienced, for all that they can say so clearly in words, many a professing Christian, many a true Christian, as he comes into the latter years of life, seems to lose any real vital experience of God, an up-to-date experience of God. And that's tragic. This is what David prayed. Feeling increasingly vulnerable with the passage of time, he prayed in the 71st Psalm, verse 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth." In verse 18 he cries, "Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not." And then he says this, "Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." And what a picture he's painting. He's painting here his prayer, his hope for his own life, that the Lord will so clearly sustain him and not forsake him, that he will be able to show the strength and the power of God to the current generation and establish a testimony for the generations to come. "Forsake not the works of thine own hands." David was very much aware that he was soon to face death. When he said, "Forsake not the works of thine own hands," he's praying, in reality, "When I face the King of Terrors, stand thou with me. Be with me now and in the day of my death." That's not just a papist prayer. That's a prayer that every one of us would do well to utter. The promise is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's the promise. And I want to tell you, and I pray this constantly, I've prayed it for years, and I would commend it to you. While you're still young and strong and healthy, give yourself to the Lord now and pray for him, "Lord, be with me now." But never forget to cry to God, "Lord, as I get older, keep me faithful and keep me in the enjoyment of your grace and your presence and your power. And when I come to face death in whatever form the providence of God would bring it to me, Lord, stand with me. Forsake me not in that awful hour. Forsake me not. Turn the darkness to light. Instead of it being the midnight darkness of the end of this world, let it be the beaming of the dawn of eternal glory. Let me have your presence." The old hymn says, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone." And that's true. Oh, that we may live and die in the consciousness of the presence of the Lord. And then let's look forward to that day. We're going to stand before God. We're going to stand before God. When David is looking forward to the judgment, he's still crying, "Forsake not the works of thine own hands." And on that day, I look forward not to standing in my righteousness or even on my service. That would be a scary thought indeed. But to stand with Christ, let him present me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Let him present me clothed in the garments of salvation and the robe of his perfect righteousness. Let him stand up for me and say, he's mine. We are going to stand before God, you know. I wonder, can Christ stand up for you? If you died today, would he stand up for you? Would he say, he's mine? Nothing else matters. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, whatever my service, unless Christ is my righteousness, I'll perish in the everlasting burnings of a never-ending hell. I remember when Pastor Conley of Heritage was in his last illness. At times I'd go round to visit him in the hospital. Those of you who know Jim Conley will know that he was a very multi-talented man. After his teaching career, his musical abilities, skill with his hands, God called him to the church. And he built one of the strongest churches in this whole area. The Lord did it. And I remember as I went to see him, and he was within a short time of death, I took his hand and I said to him, the Lord has used you to do a great work, brother. You've seen many people saved. You've seen a great church built. The Lord has blessed your ministry. But aren't you glad when you're going out to meet God now that you're not going out to meet him on the strength of that ministry? Aren't you glad that you're not depending on the good work that God has done through you, but that you're depending on the work of Christ for you? And that Christ is your righteousness. He gripped my hand with a grip that was as tight as a dying man could make it. The tears came in his eyes. And he witnessed, I'm glad. That's what I'm depending on. Men and women, let me tell you, that was David's cry. I am the work of your hands. I am the production of your grace. When I stand before the Lord, let Christ stand with me and for me. And meantime, preserve me from every foe. Aid me in every battle. We have to say, as the psalmist said in the 38th Psalm, verse 19, mine enemies are lively and they're strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. So what's his prayer? Forsake me not, O Lord. Oh my God, be not far from me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.